You're listening to the USCA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USCA eventing news. Welcome to the USCA official podcast, episode 270. Yes, I did go and check before we started recording, listeners. And we have got a really exciting show coming up for you. And we have a full team in the house and a very special guest as well, who we will come on to in a little while. But I will start by saying a very warm welcome to our fearless leader, Rob Burke. Rob, how are you?
I am really tired, but I am really good.
We should explain, listeners, so we are recording this the Wednesday before the show will come out. So, of course, it has all been happening in the US. So everybody is trying to keep up with everything that is unfolding as it happens. A welcome distraction, the podcast recording can be, Rob.
Absolutely. A very pleasant. And, you know, I feel like it's been forever since I talked to you, Nicole. So it's good to hear you.
And you are repping, because this is the Try-On preview show, and you are repping the Try-On t-shirt.
I am. I'm wearing the logo wear from when we held the American Eventing Championships there a few years ago.
There we go. We like your dedication to the show, Rob. Let us go and say a very big hello to Max Corcoran. Max, how's everything with you?
Everything is just fine. Thank you again. Like Rob, we've all been on sort of waiting with a bated breath to see how our next 4 years are going to pan out. On a more global level. But yes, everything is very well. Thanks. Good to talk to you guys again.
It's good to have you back on the show. It's been a while, as we've said. And I have to admit, both Derm and myself, who is our final guest, I have to admit, we obviously are in lockdown in Ireland and England now, and eventing has finished for us. So I am unbelievably excited that we get to live vicariously through US eventing for this weekend.
Yes, I agree with that, Nicole. I think all the eyes of the world are turning to Try-On. You're right. I mean, sometimes during the year, you know, when you've got enough events going on all around the world, you can kind of pick and choose between them all. But I'd say probably since about July, we started talking about, and then we'll have Try-On. Don't forget Try-On. We've been really ramping up and building towards this for some time. So, great that it's finally here.
And it is the real sort of culmination of the 2020 eventing season, because obviously a lot of horses who might have perhaps gone to the Fairhill five star are taking on Try-On. There is, I think, double the entries as to where the four star long was held last year, which was Akala. So it is the first long format four star at the venue. But Max, you know it well because you're involved in the organization side of things. I don't know how you have time to do all of the amazing things that you do. But just tell us a bit about it, because it's an incredible venue. If anybody isn't familiar with it, give us an insight.
Well, as most people know, that is the site of the 2018 World Championships or the Equestrian Games. And they've continued to just try to finish a lot of the construction and everything that was going on. So one thing that's always been very, very good at Try-On is where the horses, the field of play has always been exceptional. So they are looking forward to it. They were really great to step up when the Jockey Club wasn't going to run, and when Fair Hill isn't running. And so they've just taken this on. They've been super about doing this for Trend for Sport. So it'll be great. Obviously, beautiful footing in the arenas, great arenas, great atmosphere. The cross-country course, you know, this time of year can get, you know, the rain and everything can get, can make the footing a little bit iffy, but with all the really good drainage that they have, it's on an old golf course, what was designed as a golf course. So the irrigation and the drainage is really, really good there. So the footing should be always, you know, very, very consistent and very good.
Who's the cross-country course designer, Max?
Mark Phillips is the designer, and he has been the designer from the beginning. So this is sort of he knows this piece of land quite well, as he was the designer for the World Equestrian Games as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And are they taking a similar sort of route to the World Equestrian Games with the big hill near the end. Is that right?
Well, actually, they're turning it around a little bit. Ooh. They're actually going to start at the top of the hill and work their way down.
Okay.
And that's going to be the first little bit. And funny, as you think about that hill and you're going, oh, wow, that seems quite steep. But as you drive down it, you know, I was in a golf cart last time I was there for Blue Ridge Horse Trials in September. And as you drive down it, it flattens out so nicely as you go along. So it actually won't be that bad. And as people say, I would rather go down it than have to go up it. So that's going to be sort of your first bit. And then the other addition to the course, because to get the distance, because the World Equestrian Games wasn't at maximum length for the four-star, they have also, as you go right where you would jump the bumblebee and you kept going, and then you made a left-hand turn around over across the bridge. Instead of that, you're actually going to go down under you're going across the road, and there's a loop on the far side of Pea Ridge Road. And so you'll do that loop back and come back just to get the distance for the four long.
Okay, fair enough. It is going to be a really exciting test. But before we get into talking about a few of the ones that we think you guys should be watching at home, we have got a very special guest. Now, as promised for you listeners, our special guest is a man who is in winning form, having taken the top spot in Galway Downs last weekend, or week and a half ago now, but also goes forward to try on this week as one of the favourites. Welcome to the show, Boyd Martin.
Hello, Nicole. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, Boyd, thanks for coming on. Congratulations on a brilliant weekend at Galway with a first and a third.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I went to Galloway in 2014 on a horse called Trading Aces, and I bombed out. I failed miserably, and I walked home about halfway around the course. So, to be honest, I was just happy to finish this year and then to finish on two horses well and to get some good placings. It was a very satisfying trip, and it was a great event.
Talk to us a little bit about Luke 140. So he's only a 9-year-old. He was stepping up to 4-star long for the first time, and he isn't overly experienced at the level. He's only done one 4-star short with Philip Dutton on board when you were having a bit of time out. So it was a real sort of baptism of fire for him, and he absolutely delivered in all three phases.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great horse. Incidentally, he's by Landos, so he's got the same sire as London 52 that won Poe the weekend before. So, he's tiny though. He's only about 16 hands, and yeah, I was very lucky. I found him right up the top of Germany, almost in Denmark, and got a rallied a big group to buy him. And, you know, he's been a very, very talented, exciting horse in the barn, but he's been a handful. He's sharp, he's wild, and a little bit frisky. And so I had to take a fair bit of time at the intermediate level. And this year was supposed to, you know, come out the gates blazing at advanced. And then I did one advanced earlier this year. Then I had one surgery and then another surgery. And then my buddy Philip rode him around a couple of events. And he's just really, really talented. And I knew that they'd build a tough track at Galloway's, but he's such a trier. He's green and experienced, but he's just a real fight across country, which sort of counts for a lot when you're faced with one of those tough tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does make all the difference. And what will be the plan with him going into 2021? Because obviously he's only 9 this time, and it hasn't been the busiest of years. Will he aim for another 4-star long?
Yeah, I'll just see how it all pans out. I mean, I've got the luxury of maybe going straight to a 5-star, but like you said before, he's a little bit low on miles. So I'm going to just not make too much of a plan at the beginning of the year and just see how he feels I'll make a decision sort of as we're in sort of February or March, and I'll either do another 4-star long at our early one next year, or maybe I could take him to Kentucky. We'll just see how it all pans out. I'd hate to ruin him by rushing him, but at the same time, he's a brilliant athlete and a real trier, and the feeling I got when I rode him at Galway is that he could tackle a five-star.
Exciting. One to watch for next year. And what about Long Island T, who was the more experienced of your two rides, who'd been at four-star long level previously, finished in third, again jumped an excellent double clear as well for you.
Yeah, he's a good horse. Like I went over there thinking that he'd be the horse that could win it, and I was just hoping to get Luke around. So it's funny how things go, but he's been a great horse for me. He's usually exceptional in the dressage, and he got really fired up and nervous before the dressage there, or in the dressage test there at Galway. So that was a bit of a disaster. But then he jumped around the cross country in the show, jumping like a legend. And finished well and strong, so he's in good nick. So I'm definitely going to aim him for Kentucky next year, and I think he's got some big performances in him still left in his career. So.
He's only 14, and to be fair, it is amazing sort of strength of depth in your string that you had the two boys go to Galway last week. Two in the top three. And now we're going to talk about Try On this week, because again, you go with three very good chances. And we'll start with, Setzeleg, who, I mean, he's been second at Kentucky. He's been a real superstar for you over the last few years. Talk to us about his chances, because he is an extraordinary horse that has every chance of going there this weekend with a winning chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to win it. That's my game plan. But it's more just getting a long four-star long into them this year, which I think will help with their fitness and their conditioning for next year's five-stars. And I was sort of in two minds. A lot of the other riders are sort of saving their horses for another day. But I've tried that in the past, and you sort of wait and wait and you save them. And when you really need them, you know, I think you got to go for it while they're fit and healthy, and Thomas is raring to go. He hasn't had many runs this year. The last one was an intermediate at Morven Park. I was supposed to ride him around the advance 2 weeks ago in Chattahoochee, but we got rained out. So he's a little bit short of a run, but he's mega seasoned, and I cross-country schooled him today, actually, and he feels great. So I think if I can ride him well and he does his best, I think we're going to be right in there on Sunday.
What about your absolute superstar in Blackfoot Mystery, who, am I right in saying this is his first long format since Rio?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Rio on him, and I mean, bless him, he was so green and a bit inexperienced and young at Rio. It just did him in. Like, I've never seen a horse so exhausted when he got back from South America, and he literally just slept in his field for a month. And then I got him going again, and then he got hurt, sadly, and then I brought him back in. He got hurt again. And so anyway, I was sort of in the two minds whether I might have used him all up in Brazil. But I gave him a long time off, and he healed up well, and I've just been ticking along with him this year, and tried to slowly but surely build him up, and he feels fantastic. Again, nice seasoned horse, definitely short of a run. His last event was Great Meadow with Philip around the four-star, and that seemed like it was months ago. But he's a seasoned campaigner and just a trier. You know, he's probably not as talented or gifted as some of the other horses, but he's got the heart the size of Ayers Rock. And again, my big goal would be to get him to a five-star next year. And I think without having too many, well, no long format runs since 2016, I just want to get him over the distance of whatever it is, 3.5-4 miles, and sort of get that into him and hopefully have a horse that's fit and strong after this event. So, I mean, I'd still trying to win it, but it's more just trying to get him through it unscathed so that we've got a horse that could potentially go to Kentucky or Bandington next year.
Yeah, that makes sense. And actually, I suppose making sure that he comes out of it happy and that, you know, the Rio experience doesn't come back. I'm absolutely sure it won't. But talk to me about Philip, obviously having taken the ride on a few of your horses, because it has been a a tricky year in so many ways, as we've talked about many times with all sorts. I don't mean get away from it. But for you personally, there have been a few scheduled breaks and then a couple of unscheduled breaks as well. Are you getting everything out of the way in 2020, Boyd?
Yeah, that was my plan. I basically, as soon as the plague hit, I snuck in and got a surgery I was supposed to get at the end of this year, which was a hip surgery on both my hips. I've been struggling for a couple of years. I've had labrum tears in both hips and bone spurs and arthritis and whatnot. So I went in and got that all cleaned up. And for anyone that's thinking of getting hip surgery, I'd try not to do two hips at once. It was horrible. It was excruciating. It was, and I also got stress fractures in both of them. It was brutal. And then, so I healed up from that, and then I tore my groin about three events into after that surgery. And the reason I tore my groin is I've got scar tissue in my groin that is calcified, and then bits of bone sort of been slicing into the muscles and ligaments. So I had to get that fixed up. And but lucky for me, I'm surrounded by top riders and good friends. Phillip's obviously a legend for hopping on and competing a couple of my special ones. And then Silver, my wife, is she needs a trophy. She puts up with me, and then also schools all my horses dressage, take them to dressage shows. And then I've been lucky enough, a couple of my show jumping friends, Peter Wild and Oliver McCarthy, have come in and schooled them a bit. And then I've got an awesome group of staff here with my head girl, Steph Simpson, and a couple of my assistant riders that have been working around the clock. So really, once I was healed up, the horses were actually going better than if I would have ridden them. So
These all sound very helpful people to have in your back pocket.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I might just sit on the sidelines and hop on at the big events.
Please don't. Please don't. Get it all done and dusted now, and then 2021, it'll be all systems go with the magic T word.
I'm sick of surgeries and healing up. I get frustrated sitting around doing nothing. So I'm hoping it's all behind me now.
Absolutely. What about your third chance this weekend in Tryon with On Cue, the mare? Tell us a little bit about her.
She's a French mare, and funny enough, she's probably the most talented out of the three, but the greenest. She came third at Bromont, I think last year, in the four-star long. Beautiful move, a great gallop, a good jumper, and I think she could be a real chance again. You know, haven't done that much on her. I think I've done one intermediate 6 weeks ago. But, you know, she's a class horse, and I've got a lot of faith in her. And she's I'm lucky. I've got a cross-country schooling field at my place that I can replicate Captain Mark Phillips's jump. So I've sort of had a plenty of chance to school them a lot cross-country over some tough lines and bending turns, some narrows and corners. And I got them fit, so I think I've got no excuse. I'd just feel much more comfortable if I would have ridden around a few more events leading into it.
Yeah, that's fair. Can I ask you about her dressage? Because she scored a 23.5 last time out, admittedly at the level below. She's previously been early mid-20s, but not yet at four-star level. And she's only had 3 4-star runs under her belt. Where would you be looking for her to be? Should we be expecting a mid-20s dressage with her, or not quite yet?
I'm aiming for under 20. Under 20.
Boyd!
That's what I'm going for.
Oh, now I'm cursing, because we actually recorded the rest of the preview show, the magic of an edit for you listeners. I'm letting you into a little secret there. And we were talking a little bit about a sub 20 score possibly, and I so wish we'd had this conversation first.
Well, I'll be calling for the champagne if we get under 20. I think she's a wonderful mover, and she was a little bit green at her changes. So I think, you know what, I just hope I remember the test. I'll let the judges figure out what score they want to give me.
Boyd, they've only been operating on your back and your hips and your groin. They've not been operating on your brain. You'll remember it.
Oh, I've had a few whacks to the head over the years.
Boyd, thank you so much. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I'll need
try
it.
On. Right. We thank can't wait to watch your progress.
All right. Well, hopefully I'm talking to you afterwards.
We hope so too. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Oh, Boyd Martin has such a good chance this weekend. I have to admit, three horses. And yes, it's very easy to pick Setzaleg as the favourite of those three. Obviously, the Kentucky five-star runner-up from 2019. But I have to admit, you could make arguments for any of his three.
Yeah, it's like, I think when you're able to bring three horses to, you know, close to the top level of the sport at four-star long, yeah, I mean, it's not many people will ever get three horses to it. So to have three horses competing at the level, I would say, I mean, as you've said, Setzaleg fairly well ahead of the other two. But as you know, Nicole, I went for his second horse last week and then deserted him. I talked myself out of it live on the show.
He was so good on Galway. You were like, it is going to be Luke. And then you started talking about it and you changed your mind.
I started walking myself through Luke's record and then just said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to keep my cards much closer to my chest this weekend. I'm going to hold and hold and then hit you at the end with my choice.
Okay. Well, we'll watch this space. But he has, as we have heard, three very good chances and Setzaleg heads up that. So we're not going to talk about Boyd in too much detail, having heard from him, but let's talk about a few of the others. And Max, I'm going to come to you first. Who is the first of your picks for us to keep an eye on?
I think it's actually quite exciting. We've got such a good group of horses that are going to be here. I think some of the people to watch for sure is Wood Bauman. He's got a fantastic horse that was really good, very competitive with last year. I think Ariel Growl's horse, that's a super horse. If it can do the first day, it's going to be really fun to watch. I have a very big crush on Wizard, so I like to keep an eye on him because that is a really, really one of the best horses in the country, I believe. And God, there's a lot of good horses.
It's a tough field to pick.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's really quite exciting. I think there's a lot of good young horses, a lot of good younger riders. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be knocking on the door to get in there. The other one that I love to watch jump is such a good jumper. I don't know it very well on the flat. Is Sarah Metliner's horse, the La Paz horse, is excellent jumper. And that one, maybe Gal. I'm probably going to get this wrong. I think he won Galway last year and was very good at Rebecca Farm last year as well.
Who? What? Which horse was that again? Sorry, I missed the.
La Paz, L A, and then the second word is Paz. P-A-Z.
I've got it. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And people, you know, Sarah had a really great horse years ago, and is I wouldn't say she's been out of it, but she, you know. Went to Europe for a bit and has found this horse and has produced it herself. And it's a pretty cool partnership.
Okay, fair enough. Well, there are some good names in there. I know you're a big fan of Matt Flynn and Wizard. But I want to ask you, Rob, about Liz Halliday-Sharp, who has been on scintillating form in 2020, despite the fact there hasn't been much of a season. And she is actually, fun fact for you listeners, second on the Equa Ratings Prediction Centre to take the win with 12% with De Niro Z. The horse has won both of his internationals this year. I really like their chances.
Yeah, she is one of my podium picks. And, you know, I'm sitting here strategizing because one of my questions for Max was going to be, are they going to run uphill at the end of the course? And I think that the downhill at the beginning is going to solidify my picks. I'm feeling strong about Liz. I have a really bad habit of jinxing the rider of the year, so I'm not going to bring that up for the USA rider of the year. But I will say that Liz and Daenerys, they are looking great for Tryon, and they're coming in strong. Actually, a lot of the pairs coming in this week, I've had some really nice prep runs, amazingly enough, and she's one of them. They've had two really nice runs in the last several months.
Nicole, on Liz Halliday, we talked about it on the last show, but I think it's worth mentioning again. It is an incredible international record this year. I mean, just so special to have 8 international wins in a season which we know has already been, you know, curtailed, I suppose. Like, for her to be sitting on top, like no other rider in the world has more. It's just, it's incredible for her to have come true. Now, not all of those wins are at the very top international levels, but 8 international wins nonetheless. And what I think is great and good news on this show is that the second place rider is Tammy Smith on 6 international wins.
Ah.
So the most international wins in the world this year, Liz Halliday-Sharp on 8 and Tammy Smith on 6. But what I thought was really interesting about Tammy, which goes a little bit under the radar, I think, is actually that she has been in this top 10 multiple times in the last few years. Like in 2019, when you look at the top 10 international wins, we talked about Piggy French from the UK loads last year. She really ran away with it. But Boyd Martin had 6 and Philip Dutton had 5. They were both in the top 10. You go back to 2018, and that's the last time a US rider topped the list. That was with 8 as well, and that's Boyd Martin. So Liz has done it, and we've talked about that kind of curtailed season, but Boyd did it in 2018 with 8 international wins. But like 2016, Tammy Smith had 6. She was in the top 10, the only US rider there. 2015, she was in again with 9 international wins. I suppose it just went under the radar a little bit for me that actually over the last 5-6 years, Tammy Smith has consistently been up there with the top riders in the world in terms of international wins year on year. And she's there again. She's sitting in second place. There's not really going to be anyone from Europe or Australia who are going to catch her. So it looks very much like it'll be a US 1-2 in terms of international wins this year. But will Tammy be able to bring it a little bit closer to Liz? I think she's a great chance as well this weekend.
Yeah, she does. She has a couple of really good rides. We'll come on to her in just a second. One more thing just to say on Dinero Z. This horse has previously had a few issues with flying changes, but his dressage this year has been a marked improvement, and he averages 25.3 from his last 2 runs. He's always shown all of the promise and has had some expensive mistakes, and I would love to see it all come together because he is one that can really start to challenge those lower sort of mid-20s numbers and be right up there from the first phase. And Liz has added, I think, 1 second in the show jumping on her last 2 internationals this year with the horse, both at 4-star short. And I think up until this year, the horse hadn't made the time at 4-star short. So she's absolutely been putting her foot down as well. Okay, let's talk about...
I think, yeah, you can't not say, though, that the long format, I mean, Rob kind of alluded to the hills at start. I think you were going to have to talk about it with the favourite as well, but I think it's the big thing to be watching here is the long format. Like, I think when we see Liz going clear inside the time at 4-star short, you're so right. I mean, the improvement this year, dressage has always been her strength, but like to be able to be delivering 2 clear inside the time rounds from the 2 wins that she's had this year, like what will be fascinating just from a kind of, not just in terms of this weekend, but more set against the context of all of the US Tokyo hopefuls are pretty much here. And I think, you know, without wanting to heap pressure on anybody, because we're going to have to talk about everybody at some point, I think the big one that you'll be looking at here is the time in a longer format. You know, the time here could be tougher than Tokyo. It could be more like a 4-star short when you go over there. So it's not necessarily going to be directly, directly comparable. But definitely, I think with Marilyn, with Liz, I think you're definitely going to be looking at what happens in that last kind of third of the course.
Yeah, it's a good point. And to be fair, you know, Dinero Z at Burley last year when he was top 15 had 34.4 time penalties on the cross country. It was a really, really tough Burley and the time was very tough. But, you know, this is a level down. It's a 4-star long as opposed to a 5-star long. It's a very different type of track. But I would think that this horse is 12 now. He's experienced at 5-star. He's been top 10 at Le Moulin. I would be expecting Liz to be going out with her foot down, pushing the time. I think she'll do it.
I think they can do it for sure. Like that Buccalo 2017 was a tough, I think that was one, wasn't that one of the wet Buccalos? And they had
wet Buccalos.
They like added 10.4 that day after a really good start, sub 30 dressage start again. I think they can, but I think just from an interest point of view, when you see the improvement that you're talking about, I think that'll be the one for me that like I'll be tuning in to see.
And yeah, interestingly, absolutely. I did check the weather report on this, and it looks, you know, I mean, it's a little bit ahead here, but it's looking, cross my fingers, dry. But I think Max alluded to as well that the footing there tends to handle the weather pretty well. So I think the downhill, I think, you know, all these factors combined, it's going to put them in pretty good shape. But yeah, tough run altogether.
It's always tricky as well, isn't it? Because when you haven't got anything to compare it to, you know, it's the first 4-star long at the venue. And yes, there was the World Championships in 2018, but that was a different kettle of fish, and we've talked about the course changing. So it's hard to know how it's going to play out in that respect. Let's talk about Tammy, Max, because she has some great chances. Derm's already talked about how good her international form is. And again, she lines up with a number of horses that you could make an argument for.
Yeah, absolutely. The one that we haven't seen out, which is one of my favorite horses, is the Fleece Works Royal. And that is a lovely little mare. And she's always been a bit scampery on the flat, but she's had a bit of time off and has come back, and I think Tammy's actually gotten a chance to train her a little bit, which will be cool. Interesting to see her go. She's very light-footed mare, and she'll find the work quite easy to skip around the track. And again, because she is so light on herself, she's usually really good on the third day. And the other horse, Danito, that one has got more and more experience. It's gone to a lot of venues. Again, I don't think he's as competitive as the mare, but it's still a very good horse. And Tammy is a fierce competitor. She'll, as they say, she'll run you over with a smile on her face. You know, she's tough. So she's pretty unflappable. And she will try to get it done, or she'll fall down trying, which is what you look for in a competitor.
Yeah, and actually both Danito, so the Equa Ratings Prediction Centre has Danito at a 7% win chance, Fleece Works Royal at 5%. You do have to look a little bit further down. Her third ride is on Vogue, who is a very, very good mare in her own right, but has had a couple of blips on her show jumping record in her last few internationals, so they won't be able to afford that here. Very good cross-country right. horse, though. Yeah. I really think Tammy will be coming over with it. I mean, she's been so dominant that since we've been restarted after lockdown as such, and I think she'll be hoping for a very, very competitive finish here. Let's talk about Philip Dutton, Dan. So he comes with, again, some very, very good chances, spearheaded by the horse that he rode at the World Equestrian Games in Tryon in 2018 in Z.
Yes, agree. So, I mean, you can hear how tactical Rob Burke is about this. He's sitting there in his try on top, checking the weather, checking the hills, getting the updates. So you can hear what goes into this. And I've been trying to look at this field. I've been trying to pick holes in the first couple. And it's not easy to do because, as you know, we haven't come on to Marlin yet, but we've talked about Liz. She's currently on a 12% win chance, up there, second favorite, and deservedly so, I think, on form. And then we've talked about her international form. I backed Philip Dutton at Galway, and I'm going to do it again here because I see has, you know, he's four times he's been to 4-star long. He hasn't yet won, but twice he's been in the top five. And of course, we know about like his Kentucky form. It's a horse that there's not going to be any concern for me around, I suppose, around the distance and around his ability to get it. When you go down and you look at his dressage and you think, okay, you're still going to have to start low enough here. As you said, having not got a 4-star long to look back on, difficult to make an assessment as to how difficult the time is going to be. But we do know with the quality that's in the field, particularly with Marlin and Liz, I would say, there's going to be kind of 24s, 25s you would expect as that starting point. So you don't want to be too far away from that. I think you could potentially catch both of them on time. And this guy always pretty, I mean, I want to be careful with the curses.
I was
going to
say,
be careful. Yeah, I'm going to be careful with the curses, but you've got to go back to Aachen in 2019. So what's that? Probably six international runs. He's six international show jumping clears now in a row. I'd be still pretty... confident that, and there is long form that's in there. So I'd be pretty confident he's going to jump clear. I'd be pretty confident that he's going to give me something around the 27, 28 mark in the first phase. And of those front three, we haven't talked about Boyd and Setzerleg, but of those front three, Marlon, Liz, Philip and Z, I'm going to go with the old head and the long format experience. I just think he is set up here for a 4-star long win.
They're one of the most experienced combinations in the field, and they have good trial and form as well. They were top 15 at the World Equestrian Games. They've previously won the test event for the World Games as well back in April 2018. He's a very, very classy horse. There's no mistaking it. And I think he is usually, as you say, reliable on the final day. I wonder whether he'll be chasing a few in the first phase. But he'll be finished close to his dressage score. Absolutely.
I think it's so difficult to call this, but I just think the tougher it is in terms of time, the better it is for him. So
yeah, agree. Agree completely.
If we see some of those early rounds go clear inside the time, I think you probably end up sticking with your top two in the dressage because they both can do it. But if you start seeing tough times coming in early, then I think Philip and Z definitely are going to, for me anyway, take over favouritism from there.
Yeah, and I'll, to be fair, pick up the horse that actually will be wanting the time to be fairly straightforward in Marilyn Little and RF Scandalous, who actually, the one thing I would really say for this horse, hasn't done a long format since Kentucky 2018. She needs an Olympic qualifying result here. She needs an MER. So that is going to be box number one to tick. She should lead the dressage. She's been sub 20 at 4-star level back at Bromont in 2018. Haven't seen her a huge amount internationally in the last couple of years. She's only had a couple of runs, but she won last year the 4-star short in Ocala. She should lead the dressage. However, you have to go back to all the way to 2015. And yeah, 2015 for this horse to have made the time cross country. And she's had some big time penalties racking up on her record. So I think there's going to be a few horses that aren't going to give her much breathing room. And the Equa Ratings Prediction Centre has her as the favourite with a 20% win chance. But I think if she's even remotely tight, she's going to be pushing it. I think the qualification box is going to be the first one to tick.
100%, yeah. I think you're dead right on that. How low do you think they'll go? Do you think they'll break 20? They've broken it once. Is that?
They've broken it once at Bromont in 2018. No, I don't think they will. I mean, I know it's on a surface, and so conditions will be good. I would expect to see some mid-low 20 scores. I don't think they'll go sub 20. Anybody disagree with me?
I disagree. I think they're going to go sub 20.
Do you? This is a role reversal, Dan. We're normally the other way around here. I make all the bold calls.
I think so. On a surface, I mean, they're incredible to watch in the first phase. But I think you're right. I think I'm surprised that the prediction, I mean, I normally would never go against the numbers. I'm surprised the prediction center has them as the favorites. I think it's potentially because it's finding it very difficult to read an event that's never had a 4-star long is my guess, but I can't be sure. And we'll talk to the analysts on it. But I think you're right. Cross country time, it does look like it will catch up with them. I think good show jumpers, very good in the first phase. Good cross-country jumpers, but going to need to see that time come down for it to be competitive against a field that is quality. So, yeah, I think I'm going
to
count
down. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It'll be good to see how it plays out. Okay, I've got another horse that while I'm on a roll, I'm going to jump straight in with my next horse before somebody else steals them from me. I am going to say Lynn Szymanski and RF Coolplay, who this is a 12-year-old who actually took the individual silver medal at Pan American Games last year. So, I mean, they'd stepped up previously. They ran in the 3-star short... short format, as it was then, his four-star short format at Tryon back in 2018 and finished in the top 10, but then sort of stuck at the three-star level until the Pan American Games. They did a Carlo last year, actually, and finished fourth. Picked up plenty of time faults in the cross country. However, I would say that she would be in a position this year, the horse is a 12-year-old, to be perhaps have a foot down a little bit more on the horse's second run at the level. I would also say they have been 24.5 and 24.8 on two of the last three runs, admittedly at the level below. But still, I really, really like this horse's form. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
I think it's a good pick. They have been, this is their third time at the level though. They were in Jersey Fresh, I think, in 2018.
Oh, beg your pardon. They were. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Finished third there. So
finished third. I mean, two top fives then, and their only two appearances at the level?
Yeah. Third and fourth. but both with plenty of time penalties, to be fair.
Consistent in that first phase, Nicole. You know, like looking back over I mean, haven't been out that much in, well, it'd been out plenty, maybe three and four internationals a year, but you're looking at probably, 10 internationals, and pretty much all of them below 30, other than that Ocala. And again, they did finish in the top five, but 31.1 at Ocala. Other than that, I'd say you're ahead of Philip after the first phase.
So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see them. I'm looking
good
forward
pick.
To it.
I was
quite pleased with that one. I thought I'd better get it in before somebody stole her from under me. How about one of my favourite horses, Van Diver, who has been top five at Kentucky. He is a Carolina International winner, Rob, with Doug Payne. And Doug's actually got Star Witness in the field as well.
Yeah. And I think he's got Quantum Leap as well as a third. So I think they're still on there, aren't they? But which is, it's tough for me. So I'm definitely, I've got Doug and Van Diver on the top of my board. I'm feeling really good about him. It's kind of, a little bit of it is like Marilyn and RF Scandalous with Kitty, in that, you know, in most cases, Doug's going to come through for you in the jump arena. And I think they're capable on the dressage as well. It's tough because I do like his other picks, but I think I'm kind of in D's position here. He ran into with Boyd a little bit because I love Quantum, American Bred, Dee Callahan Bred produced that horse initially, and Star Witness is a great horse as well. But yeah, I'm going with Van Diver. I think Doug, this is his backyard at this point. He loves trying. I think he won the horse trial back here at the advanced level earlier in the year. So I'm feeling really good about that pick.
Actually, Rob, Wizard won the horse
trial. Did he?
Max
is banging the wizard drum.
You might have gotten
there. Let's get away with that one, Rob.
No, actually, I think Doug won one division and Wizard won the other. I think it's actually how it worked. But yeah, sorry, just had to put that in there.
I would say as well with Van Diver, to put a note on him, he's 16 and he absolutely smashed a personal best in the dressage last time out. So he scored a 24.3 at a four-star short where he finished second, which for this horse would be a very, very good score in the first phase. Now, if he can get anywhere close to that here, he is going to be mixing it right with the Liz Halliday Sharps, with Marilyn Little as well. So if he can produce that, then it's game on for him. If I mean, last time out at Fairhill in a long format four star, he did a 32.5. So there's 8 marks difference there. So that is going to be a real first phase indicator for Doug and Van Diver. I'm excited to see them. I like this horse a lot. So I'll be cheering them on a little bit, I think. Okay, who else do we want to talk about? Let's, before we go on to our podium picks, which we will be doing very shortly, and I'm going to ask you for a dark horse that you think will be inside the top 10. So prepare one of those for me. But for now, just anybody else that you want to mention that our listeners can look out for. Dee, I'll come to you first.
I think it's the other dark horse. I mean, I used to be a massive fan of Andy. Star Witness, I love.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose the big question for Star Witness is just, it's a she's still nine, and you're stepping her up to a four-star long. So it's the first time she'll have been anywhere up around this, you know, technicality and distance. She's done the, she was in the top five at Lima back in the Pan Ams. She was a winner at the lower levels, three-star short and long at Tryon and Jersey Fresh in 2019 in the internationals there. I don't know when a kind of coming into 2018-19, maybe in mid 2019 after those two big wins early in 2019, I just thought she was beginning to do something special. And there's only been three internationals since, and one of them was a top five in a championship. And the 17th position there last run at Aiken this year, it's the first time she's been to four-star short. So for me, I want to stay with her. She's only got eight international competitions under her belt. I think she is a star of the future. I've talked about her before. I'm big fan of Star Witness.
Okay, very good shout. Stepping up to the level for the first time, I'm looking forward to seeing her. Rob, anybody for you that you think listeners actually keep an eye out for them?
Well, I think we have to mention Stella Artois and Harbor Pilot. I mean, they're going to be in they'll be in the running at some point here this weekend. So I think we'd be silly to leave them out.
Rob, can we do our Jenny Branigan stat at this point? Because I think you're dead right on Stella Artois. That was the other horse that I've always loved Stella Artois. But now I found this mind-blowing. I told Nicole and Max this before the show, and I thought it was going to get more of a reaction. Everybody just kind of...
Were you disappointed with the response?
Well, you just kind of smiled and nodded at me like I was a crazed lunatic sitting here in lockdown looking at 2014 results. but she won in 2014, she won 45 national events. That's the most ever recorded in the USCA. 45. I'd love it. Stella Artois would have played a huge part in that, I'm sure, as well. But yeah, she's a fan favorite in the Equations office. Record breaker.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you. But the pause was too long.
Max, anybody else you would like to mention before our podiums and dark horses?
Yeah, I can't ever. Will Coleman is when he gets to a 3-day and he pulls the trigger on making the time. He is really, really good at it. He's got two very good horses. I think both of them are good. The TKS Cooley is an exceptional jumper. He's won my jumping show a bazillion times. I think Will he'll go out there to turn some heads, and he makes it look easy on the cross country, and he just sort of slips in almost bang on the time both every time. But he's won kind of like Lynn, where they they may have time penalties in the shorts, and then they know when it's time to go fast, and they know how to do it. And I for sure would keep an eye on Will.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, team, it is podium time. Who would you like to pick on your podiums? Just three names in order, rider and horse, and then your dark horse of somebody who will finish inside the top 10. Max, I'll come to you first.
All right. I'm going to pick Boyd to win on Faster Leg because he's Boyd and it's that horse and they have such a great partnership. I'm picking Will Coleman to come second with TKS Cooley, and I'm going to pick Tammy Smith with Fleece Works Royal to come third. And my dark horse, which a lot of people who don't know him, but I think he's getting better and better, is Twilight's Last Gleam with Jenny Branigan. I think he's going to be our dark horse in the top 10.
Okay. Oh,
love that one.
Rob, how about you?
Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, I will odd, stick with, I'll be consistent. Say De Niro Z with Liz, then Doug Payne with Van Diver. And I'm really struggling on my third, but I will sneak in. I'm going to sneak in Tammy Smith and Danito. And then you guys talked me into it a little bit. And then I'll go with My dark horse is the same dark horse I've been naming all year, Mixmaster C and Maya Black. They will come in the top 10. And they've had, you know, one or two blips, but they've been very consistent when I pick them.
Good. There we go. Dee, how about you?
I think this is very difficult. I must say, Max, I'm so much in agreement with a lot of your choices. I love Fleeceworks Royal Shout on Tammy Smith. I'm just trying to think if I'm going to put them on my podium or not. I'm going to say that it is a fantastic day for the two best pals. They'll be hugging on the podium. There'll be those looks to each other. It'll be Philip Dutton on top, and it'll be Boyd Martin in second position. So Philip on Z, Boyd on Setzer Leg. And then the big question is, does De Niro Z get in there? But actually, I'm going to say it's Lynn Szymanski who gets on the podium in number three, or F Coolplay. I think that was a great pick, Nicole.
Okay, and so you've gone Philip, Boyd, Lynn.
Philip, Boyd, Lynn. And dark horse is coming. I mean, I couldn't pick anyone else. It is Hannah Sue Burnett on Lukeswell because he came
God
all the way from Ireland, and he's a horse we had and know well from his time with Sam. So yeah. I'll go with Lukeswell.
So if you're unfamiliar with that story, listeners, Sam Watson, who is a partner in Echo Ratings, originally produced Lukeswell and took him to the Europeans at Blair in 2015. And then he's been with Hannah Sue for the last 4 or so years now, I think. So I'm glad you haven't forgotten him. I was a bit nervous that you hadn't mentioned him, Dee. Okay, I am going to be pretty safe, I have to admit. I'm not going to go anything too crazy. I'm going to say Liz Halliday-Sharp, De Niro Z wins. I will say Boyd Martin and Sexy Legs, as we like to call Setzer Leg. I had to clarify that earlier, listeners, that I was talking about the horse, not Boyd. Will be second, and I will say that Marilyn Little RF Scandalous will be third. And my dark horse is actually one who has You Shouldn't Raise, and if the time is fairly easy, then they will be ones to look out for, and that would be Buck Davidson and Carlivo. And this horse actually has an average of 28.3 from 6 runs at 4-star long level. However, the time cross country would be their challenge. So look out for them. They're my dark horse. Okay, team, it has been brilliant. Thank you all. I'm really looking forward to try on. And listeners, I hope you're all excited for it as well, because it is going to be a real last hurrah of the 2020 eventing season, and what a finish it is going to be. So we hope you enjoy it. Team, a big thank you to all of you for joining us, and a big thank you to Boyd as well, who of course has been on the show. We'll be wishing him the very best of luck later on this week. But for now, listeners, a big thank you. And don't forget, if you would like to send in your podium picks, then feel free to do so. Just tag at US Eventing. We would love to see them. Are we right? Are we wrong? Who do you think will be the dark horse? Let us know. But for now, that is all we've got time for. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.